On Mother's Day this year, tenor Ocelli posted this statement on his Facebook page. Every mother symbolizes her. Every womb giving life incarnates her among us. Mary is the only path to reach our Father. She's our Heavenly Mother, our Mediator, and Comforter. He meant for this to be the ultimate praise for motherhood, but is it biblical? Bocelli is an Italian singer, songwriter, and record producer. He was born with poor eyesight and became completely blind at the age of 12 following a soccer accident. And I'm assuming it's soccer. They had it down as football, but being from Italy, I'm pretty sure it's probably soccer. Originally a Gnostic, Bocelli eventually returned to the religion of his youth in the Catholic Church. His post brings a number of questions, and I'm going to go over 5 points real quick. Point one, what does the Bible say about Mary? Point two, what does the Bible say about a mediator? Point three, what does the Bible say about a comforter? Point four, who does the Bible say is the only way to the Father? And point five, where does this teaching come from about Mary that Bocelli believes? Starting with point one, I'm going to read from the Easy Reading Translation. The time that it mentions Mary, and I've written down a few of these scriptures, and I'll go through them quickly, and you don't have to turn to any of them. The first mention of Mary is in the Gospels is Matthew 1:16-20. It says, Jacob was the father of Joseph. Joseph was the husband of Mary, and Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. So there were 14 generations from Abraham to David. There was also 14 generations from David until the people were taken away to Babylon. And there were 14 more from the time the people were taken to Babylon until the Messiah was born. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, happened. His mother Mary was engaged to marry Joseph, but before they married, he learned she was expecting a baby. She was pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mary's husband Joseph was a good man. He did not want to cause her public disgrace, so he planned to divorce her secretly. But when Joseph thought about this, an angel from the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to accept Mary to be your wife. The baby inside her is from the Holy Spirit. Next, in Matthew 2:11, the wise man came to the house where the child was with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened the boxes of gifts that they had brought for him. They gave him treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You'll notice that they did not worship the mother, only the Holy Child. Then when you find Luke, an educated man and physician, who set out to write down the eyewitness accounts of all that had taken place. And he starts in Luke 1:1. Most honorable Theophilus, many others have tried to give a report of the things that happened among us to complete God's plan. What they have written agrees with what we learned from the people who saw those events from the beginning. They also serve God by telling people his message. I studied it all carefully from the beginning. Then I decided to write it down for you in an organized way. I did this so that you can be sure that you have been taught. What you have been taught is true. Skipping down to Luke 1:26-56. During Elizabeth's 6 month of pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a virgin girl who lived in Nazareth, a town in Galilee. She was engaged to marry a man named Joseph from the family of David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, the Lord is with you. You are very special to him." But Mary was very confused about what the angel said. She wondered, what does this mean? The angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary, because God is with you, is pleased with you. Listen, you will become pregnant and have a baby boy. You will name him Jesus. He will be great. People will call him the Son of the Most High God, and the Lord God will make him king, like his ancestor David. He will rule over the people of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary said to the angel, how will this happen? I am still a virgin. The angel said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High God will cover you. The baby will be holy and will be called the Son of God. And here's something else. Your relative Elizabeth is pregnant. She is very old, but she is going to have a son. Everyone thought she could not have a baby, but she has been pregnant now for 6 months. God can do anything. Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. Let these things you have said happen to me. Then the angel went away. Mary got up, went quickly to a town in the hill country of Judea. She went into Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the unborn baby inside her jumped, and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, he said to Mary, God has blessed you more than any other woman, and God has blessed the baby you will have. You are the mother of my Lord, and you have come to me. Why has something so good happened to me? When I heard your voice, the baby inside jumped with joy. Great blessings are yours because you believed what the Lord said to you. You believed this would happen. Then Mary said, I praise the Lord with all my heart. I am very happy because God is my Savior. I am not important, but He has shown His care for me, His lowly servant. From now until the end of time, people will remember how much God blessed me. Yes, the powerful one has done great things for me. His name is very holy. He always gives mercy to those who worship Him. He reached out His arm and showed His power. He scattered those who are proud and think great things about themselves. He brought down rulers from their thrones and raised up the humble people. He filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away with nothing. God has helped Israel, the people He chose to serve Him. He did not forget His promise to give us mercy. He has done what He promised to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. And in Luke 2:4, so Joseph left Nazareth, a town in Galilee, and went to the town of Bethlehem in Judea. It was known as the town of David. Joseph went there because he was from the family of David. Joseph registered with Mary because she was engaged to marry him. While Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have the baby. She gave birth to her first son. She wrapped him up well and laid him in a manger. She put him there because the guest room was full. That night, some shepherds were out in the field near Bethlehem watching their sheep. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord was shining around them. The shepherds were very afraid. The angel said to them, don't be afraid. I have some very good news for you, news that will make everyone happy. Today your Savior was born in David's town. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This is how you will know Him. You will find a baby wrapped in pieces of cloth and lying in a manger. Then a huge army of angels from heaven joined the first angel, and they were all praising God, saying, praise God in heaven and on earth. Let there be peace to the people who please Him. The angels left the shepherds, went back to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem and see this great event that the Lord has told us about. So they were running and found Mary and Joseph, and they were with the baby lying in the manger. When they saw the baby, they told what the angels said about the child. Everyone was surprised when they heard what the shepherds told them. Mary continued to think about these things, trying to understand them. and one final mention in Acts 1:14. Then on the day of Pentecost, at the start of the New Testament church, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, and with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Not once does it say she is to be worshipped, or that she is the mediator and comforter between us and God. His only mention in the New Testament church annals is as a convert with the others on the day of Pentecost. No mention of anyone worshiping her or even treating her any differently than the other converts. Not to take anything from Mary, she found favor with God, but she was not conceived immaculately and was not God to be worshipped. So now point two, what does the Bible say about a mediator? The mediator is Jesus Christ. If you'll turn with me to 1 Timothy 2:5. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Pretty self-explanatory. Don't really need anything else there. And point three, what does the Bible say about a comforter? Well, the comforter is the Holy Spirit. And if you'll turn with me to John 15, verse 26. Says, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me." And now point four, what does the Bible say is the only way to the Father? And if we turn to John 14:6. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So again, that's pretty clear cut also. It doesn't say through me or Mary, just says through me. And then the last point, point five. Where does this teaching come from about Mary that Bocelli believes, since we have shown it is not from the Bible? This is what the Catholics say about their belief. The term Mariolatry is a Protestant disapproving label for perceived excessive Catholic devotion to Mary. Belief in the incarnation of God, the Son through Mary, is the basis for calling her the Mother of God, which was declared a dogma at the Council of Ephesus in 431. The genuine significance of Catholic devotion to Mary is to be seen in the light of the incarnation itself. The Church cannot separate the Son and the Mother, because the Church conceived of the Incarnation as God's descent into flesh and into time, and his great gift of himself to his creatures. The Church also believes that the one who was closest to him in this great mystery was the one who participated most perfectly in the gift. When a room is heated by an open flame, surely there is nothing strange in the fact that those who stand closest to the fireplace are the ones who are the warmest. And when God comes into the world through the instrumentality of one of his servants, then there is nothing surprising about the fact that his chosen instrument should be the greatest and most intimate share of his divine gift. Thus, the Church teaches a dogma that the Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. This doctrine was dogmatically defined by Pope Pius XII on 1 November 1950 in the Apostolic constitution by exercising papal infallibility, whether Mary had a physical death or not, has not been dogmatically defined, which I'm sure we could help them out on that. Pope Pius XII pointed to the book of Genesis 3:15 as scriptural support for the dogma in terms of Mary's victory over sin and death, as also reflected in 1 Corinthians 15:54. Then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That God should assume Mary into heaven is not a glorification of a mother goddess, quite the contrary. It is the expression of the divine love for humanity and the very special manifestation of God's respect for his creatures, his desire to do honor to the beings he has made in his own image, and most particularly, his respect for the body which was destined to be the temple of his glory. If Mary is believed to be assumed into heaven, it is because we too are one day, by the grace of God, to dwell where she is. If human nature is glorified in her, it is because God desires to be glorified in us too. It is for this reason that his Son, taking flesh, came into this world. It is because she, of all the saints, is most perfectly poor, most perfectly hidden, the one who has absolutely nothing, whatever, that she accepts to possess as her own, that she can most fully communicate to the rest of us the grace of the infinitely selfless God, and we will most truly possess him when we have emptied ourselves and become poor and hidden as she is, resembling him by resembling her. Well, as Christians, we know this is just human reasoning, and only the Bible is our source for truth. So in conclusion, we have shown who our real mediator is, the Comforter mentioned in the Bible, and the only way is the Father. The teaching of the Holy Mother Goddess comes from the Babylonian mystery religion. As we have seen, it is not in the Bible, and teaching that anyone other than Jesus is a mediator and path to the Father is false belief. The Comforter sent is the Holy Spirit. You will not find anyone ascended to heaven or given eternal life apart from any others who are of the first fruits. Scripture shows that only Jesus has ascended to heaven and returned to the glory he had prior to being our Savior. Considering Mary to be an intercessor and comforter, to get you to the Father is contrary to true doctrine, and despite whitewashing by the Church in Rome, is idolatrous worship of Mary.